Seems like ages since I was up here preaching. It is. It is these ages, yes. So we've been doing a series. It started of sermons last week, and it's Why Should I? Is that what it is? Why should I or why should we? That's what it's about. Why should we? Last week, it was Why should I go to church? This week, I have the privilege of sharing around the message Why should we serve? And you know what? It's so wonderful when even the songs that Ella didn't know what I was preaching on, it's wonderful that even the songs, you know, are pointing us in that, and we know that God has his hand on his word. And so Kevin last week sort of named them. That I'm making a lot of noise here. Oh, aren't I? Oh, okay, I must just be. See, there's nothing wrong with my hearing. That's what I've been getting off my children, Kevin and I. Our hearing's going. But I call it selective deafness as far as children are concerned. So, yes. And so he called them last week. They're kind of like back to basics. They're back to the basics. And he was talking about like AFL football or anything like that. I don't know. Ladies, you have a cookbook and there's basics that you follow, and everything else builds on them. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning, is something that's very basic. And my topic was how to serve. And I thought to myself, in a church this small, who needs anybody to tell them that you need to do more? So I thought about that, but I thought, and God has really been speaking to me about that, I want to share, actually, I'm going to go sort of backwards to serving. Serving is going to be all at the end. What I'm going to talk about is a really simple truth, but it's a basic gospel truth that we all need to know in our lives, that, and I really believe that if you haven't got it in your life, if you don't know what it is, then you'll never be able to serve God or others. You need it, and it is, where do we find our identity? Where is your identity? If you don't know whose you are and you don't know who you are, how can you ever? That's my number one. You cannot serve other people or serve God if you don't know who you are and whose you are. You know, a lot of people find their, so they call their God-given calling in life in their partner, in their employment. They could even, like Kevin and I, find it in our church, in this, in what we have in our, in what we're doing, in our calling. We could find our God-given identity. It could be in that. It could be in your business, your job, anything like that. But there was a little quote that when I was like looking, doing up, preparing this message, and it was, identity needs to come before destiny. And that's so true. You need to know who you are before God can use you and your destiny, and you can go on. You know, we need to know the love of God in our hearts. And it's easy to talk about that, you know, oh, God loves me and all that. But unless it's become part of your heart, unless it's become part of your makeup and you know who you are, I am a child of God and I'm loved, then your identity is in nothing. And it's nothing that can last. Psalm 52, 8 and 9, and in a Bible that I looked at, it sort of had this picture of, and this is Psalm 52, 8 and 9, talks about an olive tree. And it says, I am like an olive tree. This was David talking, but it's words for us. I am like an olive tree thriving in the house of God. I will always trust in God's unfailing love. I will praise you forever, O God, for what you have done. I trust in your good name and in the presence of your faithful people. That word thriving or flourishing, in other translations, I don't know what it brings to mind, but I think of this lush, green, healthy plant. You know, it's flourishing. I don't know about you, but the ladies, when you were pregnant, did people say you were, what was that word? Glowing. I hated that. You feel like about 20 ton. You can hardly sleep at night, and people are saying to you, oh, you're blooming. You think, yeah, I'm blooming, all right. Blooming in all the wrong ways. And so, but you look at it and you think of it and you see a plant that's flourishing. It's thriving, it's bearing fruit, or it's bearing flowers, it's getting bigger, or it is having fruit. And you know, when your identity is in who you are in God's eyes, then you will flourish. It says, I will flourish in the house of God. Ephesians 2:10 talks about who we are in Christ. And it says, for we are God's masterpiece. This is the New Living Translation. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. You know, the dictionary defines a masterpiece as a person's greatest work of art, or, this is a big word, a consummate example of skill and excellence. All right, the very best thing that anybody has ever done can be called their masterpiece. So when we think of masterpieces, what do we think of? We think of those paintings on the walls in the Louvre in Paris and things like that. Mona Lisa, yes. Leonardo da Vinci painted Mona Lisa. The Sistine Chapel. Michelangelo painted the Sistine Chapel. They are the sort of masterpieces we think of. But you know, when I read that description just then, did you see yourself as God's masterpiece? His ultimate greatest work of art. Can you say that? And that's what Scripture says. You are his masterpiece, his greatest work of art. His greatest creation was you this morning. And your personal identity and how you see yourself is often shaped by your younger life. It's often shaped by when you were a child. That's what your identity obviously often is shaped. It's often about experiences that you went through. It's about maybe mistakes you made in your life, and you seem to be look at those and think they're kind of, you know, they've made up me, you know, my identity. I've made mistakes in my life, you know. And, you know, a terrible mistake we can make in our life is to look to things or people for our identity. It's the one mistake that we can make. You cannot look to things and you cannot look to other people for your identity. Colossians 1:27, and I have a lot of scriptures, and it's because this is what we will get our identity from, the Word of God. It's what he says about us, not what other people say about us, not what our situations say about us, not what Facebook says about us, what our Instagram account and your tweets, have no idea what that is, but there is a thing called tweets. So my daughter tells me, but your Instagram account, my daughter says that I am the person who has a Facebook account but doesn't really have a Facebook account because I never put anything on it. Or if I do, I'll just put one thing a year. And every now and again something comes up. You haven't posted anything in 90 days, you know, and I think, well, you know, so what? But that's what it's about. You are not what your Facebook page says about you. You're not how many hits you have had or how many likes on Instagram. That is not who you are. Colossians 1:27 says, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of his mercy, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, our identity comes first and foremost from a place of God's love. I don't know about this thing, but it keeps doing this thing like it's dancing. This thing of mine, I touch it and it goes like this. I feel like I need to do a little dance. What am I doing wrong? Oh, sorry. Okay, quick swipe, right. As you see, this is new, this technology thing. You know, if your identity is based on who you are in the world's eyes, if your identity is based on who your husband says you are, who your children says you are, who your friends say you are, or your Facebook account says you are, then you need to realign it this morning. You need to realign it to what God says about you. You know, in Matthew 3:13 to 17, I'm not going to go to it, but it talks about when Jesus came onto the earth, and before he did any miracles, before he preached to 5,000 people, before he fed 5,000 people with loaves and fishes, before he raised people from the dead, and before he did any ministry, he actually did something. And what it was is that he came to John the Baptist and he said to him, I need you to baptize me. And what did John the Baptist say? No way. You're the Son of God. I'm not worthy to even touch or do up your sandals. I cannot do this. You know, I know who you are. I know I was sent here to prepare the way. I know that you're the Son of God. How can I baptize you? And Jesus says, you have to do it. This is to fulfill prophecy, but it's also to show these people around that I'm from God. They need a sign. And so as he came up out of the water, we know the dove came, but also a voice from heaven came down and said, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. God spoke over his Son of his love for him. And, you know, I was thinking about that and I was thinking, how much more do we need to know the love of God before we go out and serve him? You need to know that in your life. You need to know whose you are and who you belong to and who you are before you can serve. You cannot serve out of empty vessels. You have to serve from where that you know who you are. You know, God loves you and I unconditionally. Now, I can say that to you, but has it become part of your heart and your soul? God loves you unconditionally. Doesn't matter where you came from. Doesn't matter where you're going. Doesn't matter what you have. Doesn't matter if you have a really good job, if you have a good car. It doesn't matter. Any of that doesn't matter to God. He loves us unconditionally. 1 John 4:8 says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. That's who he is. God always loves us, unconditionally. But sometimes, you know, we're unable to receive it. You know, we can acknowledge his love for us or we can't acknowledge his love because of the wrong or guilt that we've associated, or we've done things in our life. We can't accept his love. But, you know, our purpose in life is to know how precious and how loved you are to God. That is your purpose, to know God's love for you and how precious you are. There are lots of verses in the Bible, and I would encourage you to look up identity. That's what I did, and there were lots and lots. You know, it says in John, he says that those who receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. 1 Peter 2:9 says, you're a chosen generation. A chosen people, a royal priesthood, God's special possession. You know, David in the book of Psalms talks all about, in Psalm 139 is a great psalm, about how much he loves you and how he knew you from the very beginning. And I'm going to read that a bit later from another version. Jeremiah 29:11, you probably all know that. I know the plans I have for you. They're plans for good and not for disaster. Plans for a future and a hope. And there were three P's that I wanted to look at this morning. And the first one was our peace. And we'll have peace over our life. We will know peace when we know who we are in Christ. And the second one is that we'll have a purpose. Matthew 10 and verse 8, and the last bit of the verse says, freely you have received, freely give. You know, when we know and understand our identity in Christ, practically it changes our life. People will see a difference. There are things that we'll do. We won't have to chase after looking for our identity in anything else. We won't have to chase after. We will still love our jobs, but it won't be what defines us. It won't be our identity. Your family won't be your identity. We won't have to chase after how many likes we have on Facebook, how many friends we have, how many things like that we have. We won't have to chase after that if you know your identity is in Christ. And this morning I want to ask you, Kristen, do you know who you are? Do you know who you are in Christ? Are you his chosen person? Can you see yourself as his masterpiece this morning? As his greatest work is you this morning. You know, you won't become disappointed or upset when the world brings stuff against us, when something happens, when you know whose you are and you know who you are. You know, God can give us a stable and eternal hope because of we know who we are. It doesn't matter what happens around us. I know who I am. And I have proved this over my life. Things that have happened in my life, you know. Just a few weeks ago, I had one of the worst weeks of my life. We don't very often, but we actually had a middle-aged lady of 50 who passed away in our doctor's surgery. And I've never had that in my life. And I saw this lady walk in and her taken out in a body bag. And it really rocked my world. But you know what? You know, the other doctors got together and they were saying, you know, and one of the things that all made us think about, and we all said, and even these doctors said, it makes us look at what we appreciate in life. That's what it was about. And you know, when things are brought against you in life, if you don't know whose you are, if you don't know your identity in God, everything will rock your world. Everything will rock your world. But if you know that I am God's masterpiece, I know that at the moment this purpose and plan for me is a bit rocky, but I know that He sees me. He sees me when I was born. He will see me when I'm on my deathbed. He sees me and He knows me. And it doesn't matter what this world, what my family, what other people can bring against me. It doesn't matter what Facebook says about me. It doesn't matter because I know who I am in God and I know whose I am and who loves me. You know, you don't have to have a fear of the future when you know about God. If we have the peace of God, we don't have anything to fear on this earth. In Romans 8, the whole chapter talks about that we don't have to fall back into fear because we know that we are sons and daughters of God. We don't have to fall back into that life of fear. The third thing that we can have is that we're not defined by our feelings, the opinions of others, or your circumstances. You won't be defined by them. You know, we're defined by God and His word alone. And you know, if you don't know this morning whose you are and you don't know your identity, I would ask you that you would go home, look up in a concordance, Google that whose I am or your identity in Christ, and you'll come out with pages and pages of what God says about you in His word. And if you have days like that, put them on your fridge, put them in your car and repeat them over and over again, because God's word has to get from here down to here. And that the only way is that we repeat it, we read it, we say it to ourselves when we're going through hard times. You know, in 2 Corinthians, that was scary, I just lost everything. 2 Corinthians 1 says that He put His seal of ownership on us. And what was His seal of ownership? He put His spirit in our hearts. He put our spirits in our lives as a seal, it says, of ownership. And the NIV says it's in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. He put His spirit inside of us. In John 1, 47 to 51, we read that when it talks about when Jesus called Nathanael, and he was also known as Bartholomew. And Nathanael is walking down the road towards Jesus, and Jesus says, Nathanael, you are a good man. I have known you. And what does Nathanael say to me? I don't know you. How do you know these things about me? I've never met you before. Heard about you, but I don't know you. How do you know? And he says, long before they met in person, it says Jesus knew all about him. He knew of his character, his giftings. He knew this man had a purpose. And I want to say to you this morning, long before you came to Christ, Jesus knew all about you. He knew you before you were born. He knew you when you were in your mother's womb. I think this is incredible. It is so incredible. Jesus knew you. He actually fashioned you. You know, Nathanael went on to become And Jesus obviously could see this. He traveled over India, Armenia, Ethiopia, and Southern Arabia. And he told other people about the God who knew about him before he ever met him. You know, he trusted that Jesus knew him inside and out. It changed the direction of his life. It can change the direction of your life this morning. That from this morning on you can know, this is the God who knows me. He knows all about me. My identity is in him. You know, as I said before, unless you know who you belong to and who you are and your identity is in Christ, it's very hard to serve other people. If you don't know whose you are, it's hard to serve someone else or even serve God if you don't know your identity. And that's why I said I was going backwards, because I think that you need to know your identity before you can serve God. You know, God sees your gift of hospitality, your gift of music, your voice. He can see your gift of working with children, if you're a dreamer or a planner. Kevin and I like that. He's a dreamer, I'm the planner. And it's true, you need that. You need someone who's dreaming, and you need to say to someone, don't be ridiculous, that will not work. And so, you know, like, I need a new Ducati motorbike. And the planner says, don't be ridiculous, you're not getting one. Unless God gifts one from heaven to your door, that is the only way you'll get a new one. But Kevin is a dreamer. I am a planner. You can work in harmony together. People are dreamers or planners. You know, you may have an ability to lead or teach others, the ability to encourage people, the ability to touch people with just your words. You know, these gifts are not placed inside of you, are not an accident. They're there by your Creator. The word identity actually is defined as the collective aspect of a set of characteristics by which a thing, and this is long, is definitely recognizable or known. In plain English, or in other words, what I am inside of me will show in my life every day. What I believe and who I am and who I know I am will manifest. Well, you'll see it every day in my life. The name Christian actually means literally a follower of Christ. Now this morning I just want to read just a few verses here and there from Psalm 139. Now I don't know if you've heard of the Passion Translation, but it's a new translation of the Bible. It's coming out I think next week. But I just Googled a few and it actually brings this Psalm 139. I'm just going to read a few verses to you this morning. It just makes it so clear. It says, Lord, you know everything there is to know about me. You perceive every movement of my heart and soul, and you understand my every thought before it even enters my mind. You are so intimately aware of me, Lord. You read my heart like an open book, and you know all the words I'm about to speak before I even start a sentence. You know every step I will take before my journey even begins. You've gone into my future to prepare the way, and in kindness you follow behind me to spare me from the harm of my past. With your hand of love upon my life, you impart a blessing to me. This is just too wonderful, deep, and incomprehensible. It says, wherever I go, your hand will guide me, your strength will empower me. You formed my innermost being, shaping my delicate inside and my intricate outside, and wove them all together in my mother's womb. Everything you do is marvelously breathtaking. You even formed every bone in my body when you created me in the secret place. You saw who you created me to be before I became me. Before I'd even seen the light of day, the numbers of day you planned for me were already recorded in your book. Every single moment you're thinking about me, how precious and wonderful to consider. Oh, I just did it again. It says, I invite your searching gaze into my heart. Examine me through and through. This is a wonderful psalm, and it really brings it out in that Passion Translation about how God's thoughts are towards us, more than the grains of sand on the shore. And the third way that it gives us is that it gives us power. So they were the three P's. It will give us power. You know, what makes the church special, and we're sort of talking last week, it was the church this week, is about serving others, isn't the building where it meets, although this is a lovely building, but rather it's a community of hope that Jesus is building in us. When we know who we belong to and who we are in Christ, then it becomes part of our makeup, our DNA, that we want to serve God. We want to serve Him. Excuse me. You know, we want others to know what we have. That's what serving God is about. You serve out of a heart that knows who you are. I want them to know the same thing. I want them to know that they're not a mistake. I want others to know that their lives aren't just one big blur. They die, go to hell. I want them to know what I have. I want them to know. You know, the first thing when that lady passed away at my work is, well, first thing is, oh God, I wonder if she knew the Lord. I wonder if she knew the Lord. And that sort of, it sort of gives you a good kick, you know, and you think, there's a lot of people like that, you know. And it makes you think about that life is very finite. And we don't gonna, and God has given us this, our gifts, and He's given us His uniqueness that we can serve Him. You know, Peter was the first person that Jesus commissioned to bring, just to start the church. You know, Jesus said to him, Peter, upon the confession of your faith, upon faith, that's what the church of God will be, how it will start, on Jesus Christ as the rock. But today it says, you and I are building blocks of that church. We all fit together. And every church building that is built and every ministry that's created is really just a tool to reach the lost. That's all it is. It's a tool. And we need to always remember that. When we're in our beautiful church one day with our coffee shop out the front and things like that, we need to remember that it's just a tool. It is just a tool. And that's, Norm was talking this morning, our tithes are a tool for God to use. It's just a tool. It was given to us and we give back. Freely you've been given, freely you give. You know, we're not only called to build the church, but you are called to be the church. This means we share in building God's house. We share together. We serve each other and then we serve others. It's not just honoring God with your talents, with your tithes, but it's a call to share every day the hope that we have. And if you don't know who you are, you don't know your identity, then you can't share what you don't know. You cannot share what you don't know. You can talk about God and you can say, oh, He's the God who created you and that. But our real heart to serve people comes from when you know who you are. You know, and you want them to know what you know. You want them to know. I don't know about you, but you know, I have two sons who are not going on with the Lord. I have a brother who was brought up in a church here in Hobart, but is not going on with the Lord. He has three sons and a wife. My heart is that they will know. That they will know. You probably have people in your family that, you know, your heart longs for them to know what you have. You know, the greatest treasure that you will have in life is when you know that you're building into someone else's eternity. And that's what it is about serving God and serving others. We are building into people's eternity. We're not just building in here and now. You know, you come along to church. I mean, why do the guys come at 7:30 in the morning and set up? And then why do people stay to 2:30 and pack up? It's because it's not because they want to be here early, although I think Kevin just likes to leave home early on a Sunday morning and come here, but has some quiet time. But it's because they want to serve God. And what do they do it out of? They know who they belong to. They know their identity in Christ. and they want other people to know about it. You know, however hard we work, no matter how important our role, our identity is shaped first and foremost by God. And I want to ask you that question this morning. Who do you put your identity in? Who are you? If someone asked you, what's your identity based in? Can you say, oh, I'm married, I've got 3 children, a grandson, I'm a nurse, things like that. That's just a description. It's not your identity. I'm a child of God. I'm a daughter of the Lord of hosts. That's who I am. Is that who you are this morning? Do you know who you belong to? Do you know who you are? You know, Jesus is the most great way, the greatest example of servanthood in the Bible. On the last night of his life, he served his disciples by washing feet. I was going to bring a bowl and a towel and wash Leanne's feet. If you don't know, Leanne has a thing about people touching her feet. Unless they're giving her a pedicure, of course. But she has a thing about people touching her feet. And so, but you know, that's what Jesus did. That was the lowliest thing that someone could do in a house. It was the lowest servant wash people's feet. You know, that's what they did. And, you know, they were dusty streets, so there was dust, dirt, and whatever they had picked up during the day, they washed it off. And Jesus was trying to show the disciples and us that it's not in positions of power that you serve God. It's in being lowly. It's in being a servant. It's in being great. Our authority and in being great in the kingdom of God is in serving others. It's not in position and power. You know, servanthood requires no special talent or special gifts. But if you've been given a spiritual gift to serve one another, then you need to use it for the body of Christ. Don't hide it. To serve others, it does take a servant attitude, though, that servant heart to serve others. And I know for myself, and I'll speak for my own self, that sometimes I don't see the opportunities God has given me right in front of me because I'm too busy looking at myself, too busy thinking about myself and what I need at that moment. Sometimes I think we need to pray and say, Lord, open my eyes to see the ways I can serve every day. Do you know what? As I said before, that when you know your identity and you know who you are in God, it shows. And sometimes it's just by smiling at somebody. Sometimes it's just giving a meal. Sometimes it's just encouraging someone with a text message or a phone call. That's what it is sometimes. That's what showing our identity, it will change the way that we do life. It will change the way that other people see us. These girls are keeping me on my toes here. You know, I want to say that what this means about knowing your identity is that you let go of any image that you have in your about who you are that's not from God. You need to cut it off and you need to say, this is not me. My identity is in I am a child of God. I am his greatest masterpiece. He loves me. He has put his spirit in me as a stamp, as a seal of what is to come. He has loved me. I am precious in his sight. That's who I am. It's not what other people say I am. It's not what my job says I am. It's not what my car says of me, my house says of me. It's not anything that my possessions say of me. It's just him. You know, you're not defined by the opinions of others or your circumstances. You're not defined by your successes and failures. You're not defined by the car you drive, the money you make, or the house you live in. You're defined by God and God alone. And he identifies you as his own. That is who your identity is. You know, the bottom line really is that if you don't know who you are, then you're very vulnerable to other people telling you who you are. You become very vulnerable. If you don't know whose you are and who you are in God's sight, you are very vulnerable to listening to what other people say about you. And isn't that so with like the internet and young people and bullying and things like that? If they don't know who they are, they're so vulnerable to listening what everybody else says about them. And so I would say to you, the parents that are here who have children, make sure your children know who they are. Make sure that they know that they are a child of God. That wherever they were born and whoever they were born to, that they are a child of God. That He knew them from the very first moment they were conceived in their mother's womb. Help them to know that. And if your children have gone on, help them to know that. If you've made mistakes in bringing up your children, who hasn't made a mistake in bringing up their children? But we can still, as adults, say into our adults' children's lives, you can speak things into them. You can pray over them. My boys wouldn't even, but I can often sometimes put my hand on them and pray, and they know nothing about it. They pray nothing. I've gone into my boys, lived at home, I used to go into their room and pray over their pillow and pray over their room. That's what you can do. If you have no longer have influence over your children, that doesn't stop you from praying for them. That doesn't stop you from praying for them. You know what? When your identity is grounded in Christ alone, it's how you can face the demands every day that you go through. It's how you can face it. I know who I am. They might say I'm something else. My job might say I'm something else. You know, Leanne might say that we're old and decrepit, but I know who I am in Christ. You know, when we know who we are, we want to share what He's done in our life by serving others. And that's what I was saying to you, is that I wanted to get back to basics, in that we need to know who we are and our identity before we can serve. That's how we know how to serve, is that we know whose we are. I just want to leave you with a couple of little quotes. Mother Teresa says, "Give your hands to serve and your hearts to love. Do small things with great love." And that's sometimes all that's required. If you can't feed 100 people, then just feed one. And Winston Churchill said, "We make a living by what we do. We make a life by what we give." And that's so true. Make a living by what we do every day, but you make a life by what you give of yourself.